Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to Believe in Vikings. I am your host, Dustin Baker. We got Brian McKinney, Ron Soft, Sal Spice. Post-draft, we're about a week removed from the 2024 NFL draft. The Vikings welcomed 7 new players in that event, 17 undrafted free agents, so 24 rookies altogether. And we're going to go through everybody's reaction tonight and figure out how they're feeling and what their prognosis is for Vikings football in 2024 and beyond. First, however, Bet Online is your number one source for all of your sports, summer and otherwise, this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, NHL, all kinds of playoff stats, all the latest stats, news, scores available, and follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds, lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds for just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on all the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. The Vikings draft is in the books. We're about 6 days afterward, and a lot of Minnesota has transitioned to the Timberwolves, and rightly so. But we're going to do some of the Vikings stuff tonight. Sally, we can even get her takes on the Timberwolves here before the end of the show. Again, rightfully so. But let's jump into some of this draft stuff. The Vikings onboarded 7 new players in the draft, 17 from undrafted free agency, and somehow this team keeps like figuring out the hack to get the league's best undrafted free agents. I just don't understand how they keep doing it. We'll take it. But the Vikings in round one got J.J. McCarthy. They didn't have to trade a King's ransom like we thought they might have to. And then they did trade a little bit of a ransom for Dallas Turner, pick number 17. So, Sally, I'm going to start with you. I can't remember the exact year that you were ready to try something different at quarterback. It's a long time ago.
2018.
All right. So as soon as the other era started, I want to know from you, going to the draft party and all, is the solution that they have proposed now with J.J. McCarthy, does this fit your criteria for yes, let's get excited?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my stance pretty much has been that I trust what Kevin O'Connell thinks is best when it comes to the quarterback position, although I was a little confused about the guy last year that they drafted, but I digress. Mm-hmm. I do trust his knowledge in that, and he knows his playbook. So yeah, I think it's really exciting, and I agree with you. It is a relief that they didn't have to give away as much as we all kind of expected. My only concern is that possibly, I mean, if Drake May really was their guy and they, in their mind, maybe made a bit of a leap to like a stretch to get JJ, and that wasn't necessarily what they wanted, then that kind of bums me out. But regardless, I think that it's great and it's exciting, and it's the most excitement we're going to have in a while when it comes to, you know, analyzing stuff.
Are you, Sally, willing to go with Sam Darnold for however long necessary, or would you just rip the Band-Aid off and do the thing right away with JJM?
No, I think it's going to depend, you know, how he develops at training camp and in the preseason and evaluate then. I have no problem with them starting Sam Darnold for as long as they feel like they need to. I would rather them do that than rush JJ in and him be unprepared just because they want to see what he has in that environment.
I think we're in good hands because it's my opinion there is zero chance that the Vikings rush J.J. McCarthy. It might be the opposite, where we get impatient that they're taking too damn long. It kind of reminded me last year when Jefferson was recovering from the hamstring injury. And every week they're like, yeah, we want to ramp him up and get him ready. And then we were like, oh, now he's not playing. I think they're going to be not. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I feel like this is a different situation than that, because I think that we all have realistic expectations that they're not going to be great this year. Mm-hmm. So, especially with where the rest of the division is at. So there's not going to, even if Sam Darnold goes in and he isn't that good, then I don't think it's going to be, it's not like it's a huge step up to go to a rookie quarterback from him, probably.
Yeah.
Where last year they're in a playoff hunt, you know, so it was important to get the key players back.
Yeah, I agree. I think it will be Darnold. We'll probably talk ourselves into McCarthy looking good enough in the summer to, yeah, maybe we should just do this, but I don't ultimately think the Vikings will do that. B-Mac, you notably played with a couple of rookies, quarterbacks that is, in your career, whether it was Travaris Jackson, or I think Ryan Tannehill you talked about before. How different is this thing now that you're going to eventually have a new guy in there? How exciting is it? How different is it? Let's hear it.
It's definitely exciting because you look forward to seeing what they bring, you know, what they have to offer. The difference probably for them are they are now back on the young end of the totem pole where they just left being like the senior and everything. And now a lot of guys in there are a lot older than them, have a lot of years under their belt. So they have to kind of come in and gain, I guess, the respect of the veterans, who basically that's who you'll be giving orders and dictating a lot of things to. So they got to start getting comfortable with that.
When you have a new quarterback in the locker room, whether it's a rookie, we talked a lot about Favre in 2009. How soon can you tell if that guy is going to be it, if he's going to work in this offense or this locker room from a player standpoint?
I mean, with somebody like Adrian Peterson, I could tell right away. I just knew that he needed to get the pass protection part down. Then I knew he would eventually take a position. So you can see like a lot of glimpses of things, and they make big plays. So they keep making consistent plays. You can see, there'll be a force to reckon with.
Ron, let me ask you on McCarthy. I was team Drake May. I think my cutoff was 3 first rounders, and if they had to do some pick swaps or shit like that, then so be it. But I'm very still elated with J.J. McCarthy, because we spent 2 months thinking that no matter who they got, they'd have to trade up to at least number 5 and spend at least 2 first rounders and perhaps more. So when they ended up with McCarthy for just a 4th and an extra 5th rounder with the Jets, it felt really sweet. What is your enthusiasm, Ron, on McCarthy?
So I think I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I had them very similarly ranked on the way I viewed it. I think, again, looking at it in this system, I'm not talking about what May is going to be like on the Patriots, but with where we're at here with the Vikings, I think May has a higher ceiling, but McCarthy has a higher floor. I think McCarthy has those intangibles, and like, I know the biggest question mark with Drake May is his footwork. He gets kind of those happy feet in the pocket, and I know that can be coached, so they say. Yeah. But it seems like McCarthy is more polished, but a lot more potential to be tapped and a lot more unknown, because Drake May, you know, not this past year, because if you recall, before this college football season started, like, I was on Drake May, mm-hmm. like, just from what I saw the year before as a freshman when he came in. So I'm glad that they didn't mortgage the future. And again, 3 first round picks is a lot. It's a lot more once you put the name to it, like knowing that we got Dallas Turner as the mm-hmm. second part of it. Like, you know, that would have, in my mind, that would have sucked to have to get rid of, or to not be able to get Dallas Turner and then be in the same boat next year without a first round pick. So I love the value that they got. And I think that, again, there's a lot to be tapped into here with McCarthy. And, you know, it sounds like, from what everyone's saying, all the quarterbacks wanted to come here, and there's obviously a lot of reasons why. And, even Harbaugh, so much to say in his press conference talking about how this is where JJ wanted to be. So it's, I think that's a plus. I think he's going to work. And I'm not saying it's going to work out, because who knows talent level wise, but if it doesn't work out, it's not because, you know, he's not putting in the work. I don't see that. I don't see him coming in like Christian Ponder as a rookie when they said, you know, he walked in like he owned the shit. So I don't see that happening. Obviously he comes with the credentials, you know, winning the national championship, and having back-to-back, you know, fantastic years at Michigan. So, we'll see what happens. But it'll be interesting to get, you know, couple 21-year-olds with the first-round picks, it's almost like you get a first round, you get two first-round picks next year as well, just with that potential.
I keep saying this. I'm going to reiterate it on this show. If you employ Kevin O'Connell and Josh McCown, two former quarterbacks, you have a young general manager who was bold enough to pull off both these moves, and then you have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, Christian Darrisaw, Brian O'Neill. If McCarthy doesn't work, I don't know what will at quarterback. I mean, everything is tailor-made for somebody, especially him with the QB wins, for somebody to succeed. So if this one is a swing and a miss in 2 or 3 years, we're like, yeah, this guy's only mediocre. I honestly don't know what plan could have been better in terms of finding the quarterback. Sally, let me ask you this one. The Atlanta Falcons could have ruined everything for the Vikings if they were just a little bit wise. I guess they were bold and determined to adhere to what they call the Green Bay Packers model. It's a weird rendition of it, but they're trying it. That's how they described it with Cousins and now Michael Penix. And I've talked to a couple folks in the last week. Do you have any idea why the Falcons, if they were going to do this, hey, let's steal the Packers idea, why would they go with the oldest quarterback in the draft?
I certainly can't answer that. I think we were all very surprised by that pick. I know everyone that I was surrounded by at the draft party was very surprised. I mean, look, the Green Bay Packers recipe for success or whatever, I don't think that – I mean, when else have we seen that work out? It's really strange at this point in the game for them to take that on. And as we know, Kirk Cousins' contract was monumental. And yeah, so there's just a lot of conflicting things going on there. I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's really odd. Because Cousins is like one of the few quarterbacks that would probably be unnerved by a rookie. Most other quarterbacks, I think, would be like, oh, we're doing this, huh? But it seems like Cousins would be the one guy out of how many starting quarterbacks that would be paranoid about it. So I can't wrap my head around it.
Absolutely. We know that he needs like mental stability, not a lot of conflicts or somebody on his coattails. We know that he's a regimented guy. He likes to know what he's walking into. And now I think that's probably turned upside down for him. Probably has a lot of distrust in coaches in general, just based on what he's been through.
Mm-hmm.
Really weird situation.
It's also hard to replicate, you know, the way the Packers have done it, because Packers have always been a good team picking at the end of the draft or back part of the draft. So it's easier to take a flyer at that point and be able to justify it rather than, hey, we have the eighth pick. Our defense needs help. We can get the best defensive player that we value on the board, but no, let's go with the 24-year-old quarterback. So that's the part to me that's baffling.
Where was Penix projected to go in a lot of the mock drafts?
I don't think they say he would have fallen farther than the Raiders. I think the Raiders at 13 was the floor, just how the draft played out. But the other part of it is, I heard, I can't remember if it was Pelissero or Gesling talking about how the Vikings had McCarthy and Penix very similarly ranked. And if McCarthy wasn't there, it would have likely been Penix at 11. So I think Penix has talent. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. But the spot just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait to see. And he'll probably be 27 by the time he takes over, which is a little awkward. That's what we would have had if it was Hendon Hooker in the Vikings last year.
It didn't make sense to me either when I was there watching, because I knew like that they just got our guy. So I was like, how did you just pay him like, what, $150, $180 million?
180.
Yeah, to go and get this first round draft pick for another quarterback. I was like, that's odd.
One theory I have heard floated out there that maybe there's validity to it, that they, you know, may have gotten wind that they're going to lose their first round pick next year for the potential tampering. And if that's the case, then, you know, to get out in front of it and be able to, you know, get their quarterback in now in a very, let's call it, green quarterback draft. Whereas next year, you know, I think there's Shedeur Sanders and Quinn Ewers are the top prospects. Otherwise, outside of that, it's you know, more, looking more like that Kenny Pickett year. So if that were the case, that makes a little bit more sense. But even so, yeah, it's, you pay any free agent that much money. I don't care what position, you shouldn't be, unless it's like a rotational piece, like an edge rusher or cornerback or wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I don't understand drafting that spot.
Yeah. The plan, if they really wanted to do this, which evidently they did, I could have understood it and hated it if it would have been McCarthy, because he is just turned 21, folks. And he's almost 5 years older than Jaren Hall, 4 or 5 years older than Jaren Hall, if you can believe that. And
younger. But,
yeah, excuse me, younger. Yeah, what am I talking about here? My bad.
I was like,
yeah.
What?
If that would have made a little bit of sense, because if they wanted to do what they call the Packers model, by the time J.J. McCarthy was ready to take over for Kirk, he would have been about 23, which is perfect. But they chose the guy who the oldest quarterback in this class to do it. And I don't know why I keep thinking about it. I keep thinking about how that was the one thing that would have screwed up this Vikings draft if you were, you know, believed in that binary choice between May and McCarthy. Sally, what else on this draft? We had Dallas Turner taken in round one, and then we had a long little drought, Kyrie Jackson, cornerback. And then we got a kicker. Anything else that stood off the page about the draft that you enjoyed?
Well, one thing we definitely have to make sure we talk about is Bryant's experience in Detroit. Oh, we have to hear all about that. Mm-hmm. But I think we were all shocked when they traded up to 17. I was, you know, the one thing about the Vikings having a higher pick was being at the draft party. You were kind of rushed for time. And I was there. The Vikings asked me to go to shoot content. So I'm like, all right, great. Like, everyone's going to be, you know, I'm going to have all this time to go get this done. And then they go ahead and trade up, and everyone was just shocked. Really relieved. I mean, they didn't, I don't know, like they did give up some to get Dallas, but who cares, right? Like, they were building the team for the future here. So, you guys know how I feel about drafting specialists. So I think that we also have a little bit of PTSD with the Daniel Carlson situation, because that could have resulted in stability for a kicker for us for a long time, which is hopefully what we're finally going to get here. So while I don't typically like that, I am excited about this one because we see how Daniel Carlson ended up turning out. So.
Yeah, ironically, Will Reichard has the all-time record of points that he took from Daniel Carlson in college for points scored.
Really?
Yeah, that's the guy that he passed last year. I don't remember which month it was, but yeah, he passed.
Oh, my God, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Even though it's taboo to draft kickers, the Vikings drafted the very best one from the collegiate level. The guy can hit from 50. He's pretty consistent. He doesn't miss college extra points, so... we're going to hope that that other curse, the kicker one, is complete. Speaking
it's gonna
of
be yeah. weird. It's going to be weird to not have a battle for kicker at training camp.
Well, they say Parker Romo. I think it might be one of those battles like we had last year with Jack Pelezny when it was over by like May something. I just don't think there's any way that Parker Romo, the XFL kicker, can beat out Reichard, because it would be kind of embarrassing for everybody, Reichard included.
We'll see. And like, I know, like, as far as draft capital on a kicker, like kickers for me are like in the sense of positional need, quarterbacks. If you don't have one, you should always try to look for one in the draft. And with kickers, the fact that it's almost like doing a fantasy football draft where once that first person takes, there's going to be a run. Yeah. Like, but so why not? If you don't have a Justin Tucker, if you don't have a Harrison Butker, one of those elite type guys, why not every year in the fifth, sixth round, just take a stab at the best college kicker just to see what you can get? Because you're going to need a kicker, and the likelihood of a kicker, you know, meeting value and, you know, having an impact on the team is probably greater than, you know, a rotational guard that's gonna come in, you know, due to injury. So I'm all for it. Like, hopefully it works out, but, you know, who knows? If it doesn't, do it again next year. Who cares? As long as it's not second round Roberto Aguayo or something like that. But
yeah, our lesson learned from last time, and it will be hard to do, is if Reichert goes through a rut, we as fans have to be like, tough shit, we got to stick with him. Because none of us, I don't I didn't know you guys at the time, but I'm pretty sure everybody was ready to move on from Carlson after that Green Bay game. So if we if we encounter something from Riker, we gotta be patient.
Well, I think we have a coaching staff and that has more patience. Like Greg Joseph, for example, like he was very unsettling when it came to extra points, and they stuck with them. So I you're not going to get that knee jerk reaction with Zimmer, that he had. So
wasn't that the end of September too?
It was the second game.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, right in the middle.
Yeah, what do you mean we were all ready to move on?
They were.
It was a bad game. Like,
of course, I was there. I know how bad it was. I was there.
90 degrees.
Yes, it was god awful. But he's a rookie kicker that you drafted.
Well, maybe I'm.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Basing my interpretation on social media.
I think it was also because the guy who was available, I can't think of it, the Cowboy, former Cowboys guy, Dan something.
Bailey.
Bailey. Like he was the all-time record or all-time leader in field goal percentage at the time. So I think that was more of the concern was, you know, we're looking to potentially, you know, make a run this year and we have a guy who cost us a game. Let's go get the NFL's all-time leading, you know, percentage wise kicker in that in history.
And then Bailey was good for a year until he wasn't. That's just the story of our lives.
He put on the purple.
Bryant, let's hear about it. I had to cancel last week because I had a meeting that came up and it went long, I should say. And then you told us you were in Detroit. So tell us about how that all went down.
So the NFL Players Choir got the opportunity to perform alongside the Detroit Youth Choir. So the Detroit Youth Choir had probably like a 30-minute set to open up day two of the draft. And we came on probably with the last 8 minutes of the set and joined them with a three-song mashup. And we had to learn dance routines because they danced to every syllable. So we were going to like look crazy, stand there, sing while they're like moving everything. So we had to end up learning a little bit of choreography in those 2 days pretty much. The first day we were there, the first day, I had took like videos of the green room and stuff like that, but they were saying don't post it until like after the fact.
Okay.
So we were back there. There was 275,000 people.
Yeah, God.
At draft day.
Mm-hmm.
It was really packed. It was cool. It was like nice energy. It reminded me of the Super Bowl atmosphere, like the NFL experience and all those type of things. That's my first time ever going to the draft since I was drafted. So I didn't have over there yet. Actually, when I was there, Tom West from the Vikings realized, he was like, you're in Detroit? I'm like, yeah, I'm here with the choir. And when I was there, I was like, I should probably, like, I'm opening with, like, announcing, one of our selections. Like one.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting to hear that. Like, when you said you were in Detroit.
So next year, what's crazy is next year's at Lambeau, too.
Yeah, lovely.
We talked about that, so maybe next year I'll do that.
Oh, yeah, you should.
you definitely should, but I want them to put you in a funner, more fun city.
Right. Yeah, I also told them I wanted to incorporate our podcast more. I said, you know, the podcast is all Viking news, like, so it needs to play a part, especially if I'm a part of it and I was a Viking. Mm-hmm. We need to have more of a presence at, you know, their draft parties. That's why I asked, were y'all there? Because he had mentioned that as well, too. So we're trying to figure it out.
Oh, okay.
Well, at the draft party?
Josh.
Yeah, whatever draft events they have. Like, if I'm not doing, like, next year, if the choir doesn't go there, or if I don't do the pick or whatever, or even because really the people do the pick the day two anyway. So mm-hmm. I could do either or. I could be at the draft party that first night and then the next day just go to Lambeau, which is not, was real close.
Okay.
I did talk to Josh Metellus, got a chance to meet him at the draft party and, you know, brought up or asked me if you wanted to join our show. And so I haven't reached out to him since, but he sounded interested. He said he was, always interested in doing different shows. So,
and then for my chair, I have a charity event next Thursday. The Vikings, they became a sponsor and then they sent like an autographed helmet from, I got to tell you who it is. Cause it was somebody from my team that told me, but it's a player.
Current?
Yeah, current player.
What's the event?
Addison, maybe, or something like
Jordan
that.
Jordan Addison.
Who?
Jordan Addison. Yeah, he's their first. He was their first rounder last year.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a sweet little get.
All right, cool. I'm about to text event? Real quick and make sure that's who it is.
Yeah.
What's your charity event?
For mental health awareness. You know, May is mental health awareness month. Yep. So this is my second year doing my mental health awareness panel.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it in Miami?
Yeah, okay. Basically Hollywood, but you're down here.
Cool.
And one more question on the draft, Brian. Like, so you said this is your first time there since when you got drafted in 2001. What are some of the biggest differences?
Big production. It's totally different. Like, I was looking at this, I said, this is like, the lighting and everything. Like, when I was there, it was just like scaled down. It's like a big, like, they have highlights for everything. They just have, it's like more of a production for us. TV is almost like a concert a little bit, and then they did have people performing as well too. Somebody else performed while we were there.
Did the green room feel different too than from what you?
The green room,
because there weren't a lot of prospects.
Like, when I was there, they were like, you know, tables and chairs, but now they had like, you know, like love seats and just different things like they're just set up a little different. Where before you were sitting at like a table and a chair, like, you know what I mean.
Right.
A phone on the table. It's just more decorated, and I'm pretty sure they have sponsors who help sponsor some of that stuff. So it's like product placement around and things like that. But it's just more lit up. It's more of a production.
Didn't you get drafted at like noon?
Yeah, so that's different too because it's like 12 noon and draft comes on. So it's like I got drafted probably like around 1 o'clock.
And then
you fly right out. Like where theirs is at night, so they probably don't leave until the next day. Like, I did press there at the Madison Square Garden, and then immediately there was a flight. Like, there was a car that took to the airport, and there was a flight already, like, lined up. Like, they had it timed out perfect. So that's a little different.
Did any, like, clothing companies and stuff reach out to people to dress them? Or
I can tell now that that's a big thing, too. You know, with social media, a lot of guys probably had different suits and tailors, you know, so people can advertise, you know, on TV, especially if they're going to be, you know, on the draft or there. So I'm pretty sure there's a lot of companies that reach out to those guys where that form of marketing wasn't big yet because we didn't have social media when I got drafted.
And the NIL, I'm sure that a lot of these guys probably cut deals prior to the draft.
I just want to know what you would have worn, Brian, if a designer made you something. I'm just
something nice, who's like somebody would have picked somebody who was popular too and like had some real nice, like something to stand out.
For sure. Yeah, you got to, right?
Yeah.
At noon.
Well, you were also drafted in an era where the big baggy suits were a thing, right?
The baggy suits, yeah.
Like that Carmelo Anthony commercial. Have you seen that? The 2003 draft fit.
Mm-hmm. All right. I got one more question for you guys. Ron, I'll start with you. So we have about 4 months until the regular season starts, and all you're going to hear pretty soon is whether or not it's McCarthy or Darnold right away. That will be just a bee's honey talking point. But I want to know from you, Ron, what is one other big storyline that you will monitor between now? We got the schedule release in a week and a half, mini camp in June. What's one other Vikings thing that you're supremely intrigued about?
You know, well, for me, it's how they're going to operate on the defensive front, just because lack of defensive tackle depth, really, like, or at least no dominant name. So to see who kind of comes out of there, whether it's Tillery, you know, Roy from last year, or, you know, the Levi Drake, like that's going to be a hell of a story and to watch him. But so that for me, I'm going to look for that. But also just the pieces, like the chess pieces that Brian Flores now has to work with, you know, the adding Van Ginkle, adding Cashman, adding Greenard, and then obviously Dallas Turner, and then, you know, the undrafted guys. I was a big Dwight McGlovern fan, just based on what I had read about him. Like, I didn't think he'd go undrafted. So to get him and Murphy, where, and I think, like, isn't the knock on Murphy, they're saying that he doesn't have length, but his twin brother was drafted in the third round, so I would assume they have the same similar length.
Grayson.
So, and they were both like very productive at UCLA, but one of them has sufficient enough length, the other one doesn't. That baffles me, but
I think it's because Grayson is maybe an off ball linebacker.
Okay.
And I don't know if that makes a huge difference. And Gabriel's
they
more
both
of an
had
edge.
Good PFF pass rush grades. So, yeah. I mean, it's like, again, I can't say I watch a lot of UCLA football, but, you know, it's again, like he was one of the consensus top undrafted guys. So yeah, to your point from earlier with like Ivan Pace last year and Murphy this year, and you know, but we can't give Kwesi any credit on those, remember, like from last year, that the whole argument. But I'm honestly, like, I think that for me, otherwise the biggest underlying whatever headline that I'll kind of monitor all year is there. Well, on top of the extensions that are coming, obviously I believe JJ will get done soon. Darisaw probably on the horizon or early next year, but how they're planning on that cap space for the off season. Like, cause that's going to be huge, because if they go, you know, 4-13, that might not be as enticing to free agents to come in, but if they're competitive, or if, you know, they're showing like, hey, like we're building something here, now all of a sudden, you know, you, rather than missing out on a Christian Wilkins to the Raiders, now those top guys may want to come here because the money, obviously, but now the situation is going to help. So that, I think how we do at least perform, maybe not record wise, is going to be a big key to next offseason.
Okay. I've wondered too about the defensive line, especially in the middle of it, thinking like they don't have like a true nose tackle. Harrison Phillips, I guess, can do it. So I was thinking about that this weekend, thinking, you know, after the draft, they don't have one. And then I looked it up, and somehow the Vikings last year were a top five run defense. From yards per rush allowed, they ranked third best in the league. Total rushing yards allowed in general was sixth best. And so maybe this Brian Flores defense doesn't really need like just total high profile gangbuster guys in the middle. And they have so much other activity from the edges and the linebackers, because I was like, gosh, I hope we don't get gashed on the ground. But that didn't really happen last year. That was more of a Donatel thing in terms of the run defense. So there was improvement. We'll see if it carries over. Sally, what's one other thing besides McCarthy versus Darnold, which will be talked about ad nauseum, storyline that you got on your mind for these Vikings?
Oh, man, I don't know. I think that one's been so all-consuming that I haven't even thought of what other – I mean, what else are we – maybe who's going to be wide receiver three? I don't know.
No, that's a good one.
That one's always interesting. I mean, obviously, the last couple years we've had stability at that with KJ. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. And, God, I don't know. What do you think?
Probably – once we get to the regular season, I'm interested to see how much of a split there is between Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler, because the Vikings, I guess, quietly didn't bring back or didn't bring in any more running backs. And that was one of their weakest point, was running the football. So I'd say how many carries or what Aaron Jones's workload, what he looks like, because he looked great down the stretch of the season last year. And then I think one of the more interesting ones, if you start to crunch the depth chart, is defensive backs. Suddenly they have all kinds of decent defensive backs.
Yeah.
So two, at least one, probably two of Lewisine, Caleb Evans, Andrew Booth. Two of those guys are probably going to have to get cut based on the way the Vikings love their safeties. And they're not going to cut Kyrie Jackson. They're not going to cut Mekhi Blackmon. Shaquille Griffin just got here. I guess he could be one of those guys who was signed and doesn't ever actually play and gets cut. But we went from a spot before last year's draft, worried about, do these guys even realize they don't have many cornerbacks, to having too many decent defensive backs. They don't have any like real shutdown guys. So that's the other one I'll be watching, is how the secondary starts to come together, because we got a bunch of players.
What I love too, if you recall, two drafts ago, the guy that I was asking everyone about that we had on from Jordan Reed to Charchi and was Tariq Woolen. And again, I knew nothing about him other than that he's 6'4" and he ran a 4.3 40. Because no matter what, you still got to throw over it. And so I love the fact that with Kyrie Jackson being 6'3", 6'4", and Dwight McLaughlin, whether McLaughlin, you know, makes the squad or not, but you have he's 6'2" as well. You have two big physical corners that can, you know, play man, play up and press. And then Murphy and Blackman can play that slot role. And even Shaquille Griffin, he's a big long corner. So I love that they're getting these big physical guys where, you know, you're not getting prime Darrell Revis. You're not getting, you know, prime Patrick Peterson, but you're getting guys that are going to be up in the face of these receivers. And if you look at the receivers in our division, you know, outside of getting Keenan Allen, and then obviously Rome Odunze, they're all smaller guys that if you get hands on them, like you should be able to at least be there. And, so I'm looking forward to that.
Amen. The very last thing I have for tonight, Bryant, is for you. I think I've asked you something similar about this time of year, but for any new listeners, we talk about in July, once training camp starts, it turns into Groundhog Day for players, and then there's really no rest at all until January or February. So in these final 2 months, May and June, even though there is a mini camp in June, what do you guys do? What do players do? Do they take it easy? Do they get their last vacations out of the way? What is the final, I guess, 8 weeks or so?
There's always a 6 week break right in like June 15th to like July 27th. It's always like a window around there. 6 week break. That's when you continue to train, but you take your last minute vacations, kind of get away, and then get your mind acclimated to just going into training camp and you just don't even remember which day it is because you do the same thing every day.
And that isn't too far away, which is cool. We still have a whole summer to go, of course. But, yeah, we are less than 5 weeks from mini camp, and then the regular season is about 4 months away.
Well, it's got to be better now that they can go home and they don't have to stay in Mankato.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I bring this up every time, but I still can't believe there was no air conditioning.
I know, right?
I'll never get over it. Well, I want to hear about the undrafted free agents real quick, if you have a second.
From me?
Yeah.
You want to know
what your thoughts are?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I will reiterate, I don't know how the Vikings keep getting away with this. 2 years ago, it was Luigi Villain, who didn't turn out to be as good as Ivan Pace, but he was the big guy. Somehow the Vikings got him. Last year was Ivan Pace. This year is Gabriel Murphy and Dwight McLaughlin. I think I've figured out, and this was through a conversation with Josh Fry today, I think I figured out how they get away with doing it is they'll extend their top 30 visits to everybody, to guys that aren't like necessarily at the top of their draft board. So they build that. They had a top 30 visit with Murphy, a top 30 visit with a guy named Ty James, who's one of their new wide receivers. So I think they build that relationship. And then once that guy goes undrafted, when Kwesi calls them, they're like, hey, yeah, we just talked to you a couple weeks ago. And so it's easy then. On Gabriel Murphy, Ron nailed it. The knock on him is just like Ivan Pace. He doesn't allegedly have the strength, or he only weighs about 250.
He had 35 bench reps at the combine. Like, I mean, okay, if it's about his length and the short arms, like, you know, because being able to put up 35 reps, but I don't care who you are. Like the combine record's like 51, and that's a offensive lineman. So no one's going to tell me that he's not strong enough to play at this level.
I think he's close to a lock on the, that's another spot that's suddenly deep is edge rusher. It's really weird, but it's a deep spot with Andre Carter, Patrick Jones, and then of course Dallas Turner, Jonathan Greenard, and Andrew Van Ginkle. And then McLaughlin, he has the size like Ron talks about. The only thing where I can find, and I still don't understand why this would have him fall out of the draft, is that he might be undisciplined and prone to penalties, which, you know, of course we won't enjoy that in the heat of the moment, but in terms of the scouting report or the tape, that's really the only weakness that could be gathered is that. And so those are the two. There's 15 more.
But the other part of that, mm-hmm. like you mentioned that they bring these guys in for the top 30 workouts. And this is where for all those people who don't want to give Kwesi the credit for Ivan Pace last year, like there may be even some of that where they are talking to these guys like in the fifth round on and everything. And there may be a point where those guys are like, well, would I rather get drafted into a bad situation and have to work to make the team, or maybe go to a situation where there may be a little bit more opening or flexibility, or Brian Flores and that defense. So they, who knows what they're doing, but maybe they're just doing a good job of working the phones and everything and building that relationship. And like, hey, if you go ahead and, you know, basically shy off some teams, which has happened before, we've heard of players that have said, I'd rather go undrafted. So maybe there's some of that going on in these high profile guys are, you know, looking at it like, hey, that's a good opportunity for me just to advance my career.
And I'll reiterate it, that it is something. This is too many years in a row to be a coincidence, because Villain, Ivan Pace, and now Gabriel Murphy. It's really unreal. Like, I'm just slating next draft. I'm just expecting for a big old UDA after party. Who are we going to get? Just like the equivalent of getting a third or fourth rounder. That's the way somehow Kwesi has figured it out. All right, guys, we'll be back 2 weeks from tonight. We should have a schedule out by then, I believe. Yep. And then I'm guessing we'll have a Justin Jefferson extension to be happy about. It feels like that is imminent. But that's all I got, guys. So we shall talk to you in 2 weeks, okay?
Go Timberwolves.
Later.
Bye.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.